guys, welcome to The Pulse. As always, I appreciate you spending some time with us, and we have got a special guest today. So there's that whole thing called the EGOT, right? That's what they call it? The Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, the Tony Awards. Only a handful of people have won those. Our guest today has three of the four. We just got to figure out a way to get them an Oscar. Spending some time with us today, singer, actor, performer, author, director, activist, and advocate, Billy Porter. Thank you for taking some time out of your schedule. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. We have a fashion icon, not you, here at the station, who always wears the stuff. And I started to borrow one of the jackets because I wanted you to review my fashion sense, but I felt like I wasn't ready to take it. you get that a lot.
Well, you have great fashion sense just as you are dressed right now. Fashion sense is personalized. It's how you show up personally.
Okay, I'll take that.
And what makes you feel comfortable?
All right, I'll take that. I appreciate that. A fashion icon told me that I can live my best life in whatever it is I'm wearing.
In whatever you wear.
Again, we thank you for doing this. So what do we have to do? You got the everything but the O in the EGOT, right? Are we about to get you an Oscar in the James Baldwin film?
Well, it's possible. I mean, I also have a film coming out this summer. You know, I wrote a song, I'm a producer, I'm a writer. You know, I have many different angles and avenues that I can come in. So, you know, I'm employing all of the gifts. We'll see.
So you'll take the Oscar, but that's not actively seeking it right now.
Well, I think it's yes and. You know, my focus is on the work. It will always be on the work. I am blessed to be aligned with a lot of work. Yeah. So we'll see. You know, we'll see.
We are for interviews on The Pulse. I do a little bit of research, of course, in trying to understand people's background. And one of the questions I had written down, I went back to 97 and Show Me and your, you know, soul crooner career. And some of the things I read about an industry not being accepting. Mm-hmm. And going from there to now, where you're like, I'm here, I'm doing this, I'm speaking out. Right. What had to change for you to get there?
Well, first of all, I had to change. You know, Maya Angelou speaks about loving yourself and how we teach people how to treat us and how to love us back with how we love and honor ourselves. So I had to get to the space where, even though everybody told me that my queerness would be my liability, and it was for decades, that was okay, because I was gonna love the fullness and honor the authenticity inside of myself anyway. That's the first thing that had to happen. Inside of me going through that process, the world also changed. The world has changed. The world has evolved. And quiet as it's kept, it will continue to evolve. It doesn't matter what laws are erected. It doesn't matter what pushback we get. The reason why it is so intense right now, you know, the attacks on our community are so intense, is because the change actually has already happened. It's already happened, and everybody's running scared to try to keep it at a status quo. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. We're here, we're queer. Get over it. Get used to it and get over it. No, for real, yeah. Get over it. But I'm done asking, I'm done. You know, it's not a conversation about acceptance or tolerance. That's not the conversation I'm having. The demand is, you will respect my humanity just as I respect everybody else's, period. That's the only conversation that I'm having.
Do you think that, you talk about society changing, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because we also see every day the pushback that you were just talking about. Do you think that change in society is why you've resonated with so many people, some of the same communities that in the past wanted you to hide who you are now saying most influential, you know, come on out and have these discussions, asking you about politics and whatnot. That's an example of that society.
I do think it's, I think the conversation is changing. Like I said, people are evolving. We're all human beings first, period. And the majority, particularly in America, I will just speak in America, but and the world, the majority are on that page. You know, minority rule is powerful because they cheat. They beg, borrow, cheat, and steal to get what they want. And we, on the right side of history, on the right side of humanity, tend to give the benefit of the doubt. So therefore, we continually take bags of popcorn to gunfights. And that's what we've been doing this whole time right now. We taking a bag of popcorn to a gunfight. We're not showing up for the game that we're in. We're not showing up for the fight that we're in. This is not 1965. The game has changed. And we have to align with what that is. Love always wins. I've lived long enough, I'm 53, to know this is a circle of life. Love always wins. I was here for the AIDS crisis. I lived through that. I ain't scared of none of these people. Right? My ancestors lived through slavery, the civil rights movement. I lived through the AIDS crisis. I'm not scared of any of these people. Extract that from the vocabulary. Fear and scare and terror. We don't have time for that. It's time for all hands on deck to fight for what is right for all humanity, period. We're in the fight of our lives right now.
Now you, the performer, at least the face of the performances, has changed. The talent has always been there. So do you think that the performer?
Thank you.
I mean, it's clear. It's not, if you go back, you could always sing, like you could always perform, but people weren't always respecting this level of it. So do you think the performer changed, or is this just giving society the credit?
I evolved, right? When I understood the higher purpose, you know, art is a calling. My art is a calling, it's a purpose. It, dare I say, it's my ministry. And once again, I'll call on Maya Angelou, Oprah Winfrey, Yolanda Van Sant. They were on the Oprah show at one point and they were talking about a service. So when you shift from ego to service in the intention of your life, everything else will work itself out. I asked myself, what does that mean for me? In an industry and quite frankly, a world that's inherently narcissistic. It's your queerness. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It's your queerness. Lean into that. I was asked by the universe to lean into that when there was no work for me in that. Nothing looked like it would work in that, but I found the courage to choose it anyway. And now here I sit at this intersection of a higher, greater purpose in the world, you know, and as a result, the work did deepen. It deepened, it expanded, and it grew in ways that I'm speechless. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, in this concert tour is really, I see it, I feel it in real time. And it's quite magical.
It's interesting. You mentioned Yolanda Van Zandt, and I, side note, she was the first guest we had on this show, and my father introduced her. My father introduced her to radio before people knew who Yolanda was. So I grew up with those messages that you were talking about. I understand the power of that. Tell us about this tour, because everything I've seen about it, read about it, obviously the performance, but it's like you said, it's almost like ministry. Like you're talking to people, you're getting love from people, you're sharing love with people.
you know, my goal when I put it together is to celebrate life, love, joy, hope, peace. All these words that kind of have dissipated from our consciousness a little bit during this collective trauma we've been in. And, you know, to give the world a big bear hug and go, today is where the healing begins. Today is where the collective healing starts, because I talk about it in the show, it's inside of the gathering. That's where the healing lies. We can't do it isolated, you know? So that's the first goal of this tour. The second goal is informative. It's a retrospective of my life, because there seems to be some confusion. You know, I am multi-hyphenated, and therefore I confuse people. You know, the multi-hyphens all exploded at the same time. Everything, everywhere, all at once. I've been doing it all for over 30 years, and they've all exploded at the same time. The acting, the singing, the writing, the directing, the producing, the fashion, all of it at the same time. And so some people have entered the Billy Porter train at the beginning and all the way up until now. And I find it ironic that for the first 25 years of my career, I was trying to get the gatekeepers of the acting side of the industry to take me seriously as an actor. They were like, oh, he's that singer, he sings. So now I get that credit, and I'm reading things online like, oh, I didn't know Pray Tell could sing. Okay, first of all, my name's not Pray Tell. Second of all, really? Like, I have to now go and re-educate, and that's okay. And so the show is a retrospective of my life. There's video packages, you know, the different sections are different sections of my life and career. I do a throwback R&B section. I do a Kinky Boots theater section. I do a political section. You know, it's eclectic. There is a narrative in a sense that doesn't always necessarily happen at a rock concert, and it's a rock concert. So it's, you know, it's very different and special. And we've been able to find our stride. You know, I think we're on like show 16 or 17 now. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to find a rhythm that is explosive and expansive, and healing. Yeah. And I'm excited.
At the Met here in Philadelphia, June 1st, Black Mona Lisa is coming out later in the summer, in September. Fashion is out now.
And Baby Was a Dancer.
Okay. I don't want to sell short all the things that are coming out.
Baby Was a Dancer went number 2 on the BBC UK charts last week. Baby Was a Dancer. Let's give that some love. Okay. You know, we don't get a lot of love over here in America yet. You know, radio is being shady right now over here. That's okay. Won't always be. They're going to have to come to the table eventually with me.
Okay. With everything, yeah. They're coming to the table. You see that.
Yeah, they're coming.
The battles that you've had to fight, the political stuff that you've stood up for, the industry that pushed back against you, are you at all surprised at the level of being embraced that you are receiving now? Did you, when you were struggling, challenging, think that it would get here?
Yes, I'm surprised. Yes, I'm surprised. Everybody told me my queerness would be my liability. I went to drama school to learn how to be straight, to act straight. Mm. You know, I can do it. Look at my first music videos. I can do it, and I did it very well. They made me feel like I didn't do it well, but I did it well. The proof is there. I was told my queerness would be my liability, and it was. For decades, you know, I was trying to be perceived straight enough so I could eat, you know, and then something shifted. And now my queerness is my superpower. And I'm grateful that I lived long enough to see that day, because that's a tipping point, as Malcolm Gladwell says. That's not just me. That's a bunch of different things getting to a space where they tip over. And now, you know, I'm embraced. I don't know what to say. Well, other than the tipping point happened.
Listen, I went over to the Met website and was looking at ticket sales for your show, and I don't recall seeing on any of the others or any of the other guests we've had that it says at the top something like extremely high demand show. That was basically telling people you better get your tickets now or those tickets are going to be gone.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up just a little bit. What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said, when you go
just a little bit,
if you go to the Mets website, it says at the top of your show, extremely high demand show. And that was the first time I had seen that on their website.
Oh, that's good. That's great. That makes me happy.
A couple more things before we have to wrap. And I know a lot of people are trying to talk to you, so I do appreciate you taking this time. There are a lot of people watching you. Like, you have become a spokesperson, an advocate, someone that, I mean, not just the LGBTQ plus community, but people in general look to kind of hear your voice and your stance. What's the message you share with people who are feeling like they are facing similar challenges to ones that you've faced?
Love always wins. There will be blood in the process. That ain't new. And validation for our own humanity comes from the inside out. We got to stop looking to be validated from folk on the outside. It will destroy you every time. And our culture thrives on the latter, being validated from the outside, social media, you know, in particular. Stop that. Stop the necessity and the need for that. And then focus on how we make a change and a difference and a change for good in this world.
And that segues to my final question. Every episode of The Pulse ends with the concept of use your voice for good. We ask everybody what that means to them. What does that mean to you?
It means what you're seeing. You know, it means that my power is my art. And I have always and will always use it for good, always.
I appreciate you taking the time. We will see you in Philadelphia June 1st. People better get the tickets quickly because it is an extremely high demand show. The website said so. All of the music is out right now. I appreciate your time and I appreciate what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The singles are out. The album is not out till September.
All right. So you can get the singles and you can put Black Mona Lisa on reserve.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. We will see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with Grammy, Emmy, Tony Award winner, fashion icon, performer, actor, director, author, you name it, Billy Porter. An interesting discussion because you get, one of the things I really enjoy about this show is the level of depth that you get when you have more time with people. We may have seen sound bites from Billy Porter. We may have seen performances from Billy Porter, but hearing the why, hearing the behind the scenes battles and struggles, those things are always interesting to me. And seeing how people come out on the other side, loving themselves, embracing themselves, and having success. So I hope you enjoyed that. I want to remind you to hit the follow, subscribe, whatever it says on your screen that gets you a notification every Monday when another episode of The Pulse comes out. We certainly enjoy that. You can head over to YouTube and check out some of the past episodes. Had some great guests. And I hope you will enjoy them. And always, you can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. Love to hear from you. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.